He's poor and I'm actually only going to work from verse 16, but I hate starting in the middle of the sentence. You know, Paul writes in really long sentences, sometimes you don't want to. One sentence, like six verses long, or half a chapter. So I'll see if the like speak in complete sense. See, if I go back to the beginning of the sentence, I gotta start chapter. Alright, we'll just start in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joins together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so in Christ. That's quite a description of the world there in chapter verse 18. That's what we see every day, it's all around us. But we're going to work from verse 16 here. Now this is, he's describing the body of Christ, and he's using the analogy of the physical body and how all of the joints and things work together and each supplies the needed strength to do a certain job. And then, of course, you have the head and so on. And all parts are needed for everything to work well. And when it's directed by the head, everything works smoothly. Actually, the body is really an amazing mechanical creation. I don't see how they can, you know, say that it evolved the way it is. It just doesn't make sense. It's impossible. I mean, I don't know if you ever thought about this. Think about this. So you have all these joints, right, that we just read. The ankle, that's flexible, right? A lot of directions. And then the knee is stable, right? Only in two directions. Then the next one is the hip. A lot of rotation can go in a lot of directions. And then when you get to the spine, you know, the vertebrae, they can all do this and they can flex and bend and all that. But at the bottom, the very bottom vertebrae are very rigid. In fact, if you talk about your underneath your lumbar, there's a section of your hip that's also got joints in it, but they don't move. Okay? So it's rigid, it's firm. And then as you go farther up your spine, it's more flexible. Is that you can do movement in your thoracic spine, degrees of movement that you can't do in your lumbar, and then you go up into your neck and you have all kinds of mobility, right? Okay? And then if you go out to your arm, okay, you got all this rotation here, real easy. Then this is pretty rigid. And then this is a lot of rotation, and then the joints are rigid. But the thumb has got some rotation. It's pretty amazing. Amen. You ever thought why, I mean, we have two legs and two arms. You ever thought why we don't hop like a rabbit or maybe like a kangaroo? We propel ourselves. I mean, you can if you want, right? You'd like to do that. But we propel ourselves, you know, one at a time. You ever thought how that works? It's quite complicated, actually. Thank you. So here's your upper body, here's your hips here. You got like your upper leg. And your foot down there. So so the motion that propels you forward is I'll describe it as an arching in your backside of your body. But the proper word would be extension. Except for if you're talking about the seat of the knee, that would be flexion. The back is extension. But we'll get into all that. You think of it as your whole body is arching, right? So when you're walking, there's this going up. Okay? From all the way down here, all the way up through your back, there's this going on. Okay? He said, well, you didn't walk anywhere. You just kind of bent like that. Well, the reason is because I didn't fix my upper body and I didn't lift one of my legs. Okay? So you have this kind of arching going on, okay, in all these muscles. And if I were to lift one leg up, okay, and then make the front of my body, my torso, rigid, that would be a force that would block the arching, okay? And from here, this would propel me, this would be pushing backwards, and because this is stiff, right? I'm not stiff if I do that. If this stays stiff, and I do this, my body's propelled forward. You see that? You follow? Okay. That's one side. You know when my core here is tightening up to keep me from just going like that, and it is also returning the other leg forward. Okay? So if you go like this and do it hard, your front of your body is tightening up. Okay? So it's doing two things at once. Okay? And then if you think about if you're running, you do something when you walk. When you walk, you swing your arms. You should. But if you run, of course, you get this motion up here, right? So this side is pushing this way. The bottom side is pushing that way. And then on the top, which is the opposite side of the hips, is going this way to add momentum, right? So as soon as I let go and I'm switching the other leg, that momentum carries me forward. That's how God designed it. It's amazing. I mean, animals are fast. There's some fast animals. And we're talking about running speeds. You know, humans can't compare to some of the fastest animals. But some humans can run really fast. To go 100 meters in less than 10 seconds is really fast. How long does it take you to cross 100 meters? Can you do it in 30 seconds? If you haven't run for a long time, it might take you 30 seconds. You're still in halfway decent shape, maybe 15, something like that, I suppose. You think about that. There's a guy out there that can get across 100 meters in one-third of the time. It's pretty amazing. You're talking about just raw strength, for example. Now, you know, a man is not going to be as strong as a gorilla, a rhinoceros. I don't know how much the largest gorillas weigh. Anybody got a guess? That's something I could have looked up. I mean, some I think are several hundred pounds. You got some men that are 300 pounds, 400 pounds, right? But we're not going to talk about big men like that because I only weigh 150 pounds. But if you take what will be my weight class in Olympic lifting, the 148 pound weight class, the record, at least the last time I looked at it, to what's called clean and jerk. You lift up off the ground and then you get under it and then you slam it overhead. 405 pounds. 405 pounds. A guy my size. I can't lift 405 pounds off the ground. I can't lift 300 off the ground. I can do 200 but that's hard, you know. That's amazing that somebody my size can develop that type of strength and coordination to be able to generate that kind of power. Because when they do it, they have to do it really fast. They have to, they pull up off the ground and they get it moving so fast that there's this, for a moment it's like floating right there. And then they get down under, right? That's how they do it. Tremendous amount of speed and power that they can generate. But the average person can't do that. The average person probably can't pick up his own body weight off the floor. So, I weigh 150. I can pick up 150 off the floor. How much do you weigh? 70, 170, 180? You load a barbell, can you pick that amount off the floor? Say no. Well, what does that make you? That makes you an average person, because as I said, the average person can't. But in fact, the human beings that live in Western developed countries are universally weak. They're universally weak, because if you think about it, you know, 150 pounds is not, my body is not that much. So it doesn't take a whole lot to exercise and train for a little while, and I can pick up my body, okay? As long as everything's working right, okay? If you have some problem with your joints or some other problem like that, you know, that may be prohibited, okay? So, or if you have some problems with your posture, and that's what we're going to get into tonight. If you have some problems with your posture, it's not going to work. I've toted the idea of trying to learn how to Olympic lift, but I don't know if I ever will. I'm kind of old now. But I won. One time, I got this picture on my computer. I got it somewhere. It's a granny CrossFitter. I call her a granny CrossFitter. And if you know anything about CrossFit, you might understand. She's doing an Olympic lift, and she's got to be in her 60s, and she's got the weight up like this, and I, you know, a squat like that. She's holding, I suppose, 100 pounds. But I don't think I can even get in that position with 100 pounds. I could probably get 100 pounds over my head. I mean, I know I could, but not in that position. You know? I don't know how long it took her to learn how to do that. Maybe that photo is just kind of tricky. She is a former Olympic lifter or something like that. Could be that. See, why do you want to learn to do that? Because I saw a granny, she could do it. So I should do it, right? What I'm kind of getting at is that if you were going to, you know, work in this realm, if you were to practice and exercise and train, etc., you'd be amazed at what kind of levels of strength you could develop. And the reason is because God designed the body to work very efficiently, and so if you use it the way it's supposed to, then it could do those things. Because it's an amazing design. Now tonight I'm gonna work from this whole illustration of physical posture. We're gonna talk about spiritual posture as we see these parallels. I'm gonna show you a whole bunch of them. The only negative about this sermon is the posture stuff is so interesting. Physical posture stuff is so interesting. Or at least I find it interesting. That you might get distracted from the lesson. But this is about spiritual posture this evening. Let me ask you this. If I could take the body that God made and the posture mechanics of that body and draw, say, 10, 20 parallels with spiritual posture, what would that mean? What would you say about that? That means God made them both, right? God made them both. And the same illustration is used for the body of Christ, and we won't be able to talk about any of that. God made the body to work in a certain way. It works very efficiently if you use it the way he designed it to work. Your spiritual posture, your spiritual framework is designed to work in a certain way. If you line things up in that way, it works very well. And it will have a, it will be able to generate power that's sometimes you will amaze yourself. Okay, so we're going to work from this first from physical posture. And I'll just demonstrate this. So this would be bad posture. Probably exaggerate a little bit. I have to exaggerate a little bit. Okay, right? Now to any certain degree, three quarters of you will find that you have some degree of bad posture. Why is that? Well, it's because the modern world doesn't challenge your body. Okay, so if you just live the ordinary life, you're going to fall into bad posture because your joint mechanics are not challenged to work in the right way. In fact, a lot of times they're locked into bad positions. And we'll talk about it a little bit as we go. Right, so I'm thinking about three. Name one for me, just anybody. What do you see? I got three areas that the posture's got a serious problem.
Shoulders and one.
Okay, shoulders and head, there's one more.
Back.
Yeah, there's three. Okay. These three areas we're gonna cover tonight. This is called you might just call it slump shoulders or slump back, or if you're talking the signs say it's kyphotic posture. That means your thoracic is curved too much. Okay? Slumped over like that. What is this area of your body picture?
Heart.
That's right. What's your problem? Your heart's not working. You can get it out. Right? Routinely, as people, I don't understand what it is with Christians. A lot of them will start out well, and then they just fade off. And a lot of times, what it is, they just go back. They get that shot of salvation, and they're awakened, and they start living the Christian life. But then, as they go along, it just seems like they were going along good, and then all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, it's gradual. You find that they're like this, and they're back in the world. That's because their heart is back out in the world. So if you're going to fix that, if you're going to fix your physical posture, the first thing you have to do, this has to be the first thing, and you understand in a few little ways why you have to do that. You gotta lift your chest. You have to lift your chest up. When we're talking about the spiritual posture, I mean, you've got to get your heart out of the world. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. This is the famous verse, but it says it all right there on the point. Probably some of you have it memorized. 4:23. Right? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we have to fix our heart first. Thou, Christ, art all I want, more than all in me I find. That's quite a phrase. Sounds nice to sing. I like to sing. Is that where your heart's at? 1 John chapter 2, how does that go? Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How does that work? Well, so, as in so many places in the Bible, it's one of those either-or verses. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So I guess it doesn't work if you say, well, you know what, today I'm just going to be 40% love the world, and then when I can still love God, 60%. Maybe you'll flip it around. I'm going to go for 60% love the world today, and then I'll still love God 40%. I don't think that works. It seems like we can do it, right? That's what we're always thinking. We can do it. It seems like we live that way and walk that way all the time. But I don't think the verses allow it. I don't think they do. Set your affections on things above, right? Set your affections on things above. We read earlier as we started in Ephesians 4 there. The vanity that is in the world, in the mind of people that are in the world and are not in God. I wanted to say, worldliness permeates the world. But that's like, it's obvious, right? So how come we can't ever remember that? Right? Worldliness permeates the world. This is the world. It's full of it. Everything about the world, lost people's conversation, is all about worldly things. Carnality. Idolatry. And your heart is leading that way. That is a spiritual posture problem that is going to cause you all kinds of problems. And if you don't fix that, the other ones that we're going to work on, the other two, you won't be able to fix those either. You've got to fix that. I mean, it doesn't matter what you pick in the world. I mean, I like to pay attention to the news, but I'm just getting tired of it recently. It's just going on and on and on and on and on, right? And I mean, you want to take time and go read Ben Shapiro or some conservative like that that's fairly intellectual and intelligent and writes well. You know, you say, well, that guy knows what he's talking about. He's still in the world, right? It doesn't make any difference. I mean, I can agree with probably 80% of what he says. Rush Bowl, you know, he's fun to listen to sometimes, but really, it's just all the world.
Yeah.
It's nothing about God. Every once in a while, they'll, you know, nod towards Christianity, but that's not what they're about. No, this habit, but like I said, it tends to be progressive, and people just don't notice it. And until it starts to cause a problem. A lot of times it's too late. We buried an elderly lady. She was in her about a year ago, I guess. And by the time she died, she was like this. She walked like this. She couldn't straighten up. Now I'm not saying that's because she just had a bad posture habit, but I think she probably never tried to fix it. Maybe there was a genetic component to it or some other things too. You know. But if you watch, you'll see people that eventually when they're old, they end up like that. And like I said, there could be some other things to it, but I would think that if you try not to do that as you age, you don't have to end up like that. That is, if you take notice of it, when you're younger, when you can do something about it, you don't have to end up like that. If you find your heart is in the world like that, get it out, right? Take notice. That's the first thing you have to realize. If you don't realize it, right, you're not going to do it. How would you notice it? I don't know, just one day, maybe it will strike you that, wow, you know, I just spent this whole week and I haven't thought about anything else but all this stuff in the world. You know? Kind of happens on Sunday services, right, or Wednesday services, because you just leave the church and then you don't read your Bible and then you're in the world all the rest of the week and then the preacher reminds you of the weekend, right? Well, if you realize it, then start working on it. So, I said this one has to be fixed first. This posture problem has to be fixed first. If you're going to fix your physical posture, you have to get the chest up. If you're going to fix your spiritual posture, you've got to get your heart out of the world first. Okay, now we mentioned that the head. All right? What exactly is wrong with my head? Position. It's posture. far harder. Your head's not supposed to be here, right? Forward head posture. Every inch your head is forward adds 10 pounds of shear force onto your neck vertebrae. Okay, shear force is this way. So if you're forward 1 inch, that's an extra 10 pounds. A lot of people have head forward 2 inches. When I first started noticing it myself, it's been years ago, I just kind of noticed. I don't know why. I said, man. And so I started putting it back. You know, because actually for me, if I have bad posture, then I lose like, well, you all lose some height. So like I'm like five and three quarters, I think, if I stand up straight. If I lose a half an inch, then I have to write 5'5" on all my forms. But if I can stand straight, then I get to write 5'6". Almost 5. Where people get this? This head forward. Come on. Don't pretend you don't know. Cell phone ring.
Cell phone ringing.
Drive screen. This one. This screen and the various size screens that we have in our life. Right? They're called devices now. It's easier to just talk about them and find them. How many kids do you have? Why? I have 3 kids. How many devices do you have? Why? I have more devices than kids. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's the idea of zoning in on something till it draws your mind and you don't even know you're going there. In fact, it just draws your whole mind and whole head forth. Right? Forward and posture. In the States it's bad too. I mean, people are walking and looking at them. In Hong Kong, people routinely commute on subways. And the subways are stand for a while, sit if you're lucky, walk to the next station, and then do it over until you get home, right? And so people will just, the whole trip, they'll be like this. The whole trip. Up the escalators, I mean, they even have to walk for 10 minutes and make turns and stuff on the tunnels and stuff. No problem. You can walk out of your peripheral vision, you know, and you do it every day. But so you can concentrate on this thing. And they have signs above the elevator, or escalators, up on the top that said, don't always look on your cell phone. And then they had those, and then they still have them. But then what I noticed that they stuck them on the little stickers on the side of the escalator along the floor there. Why did they do that? Because no one is looking up at the ceiling, so they didn't need those. Okay, so they put stickers. Don't always look at your cell phone. I think I got a couple photos of them. That picture is this habit, this mental habit, concentrating on something that you probably shouldn't be concentrating on that much. Whatever it is in your worldly thought life, and you end up getting like that. It can get bad really quick. A lot of young people have head forward posture. The world and the stuff in the world will grab you, grab your attention, your mental attention, and before you know it, you're basically 2 inches head forward all the time. But when I was reading up on this, I read an article about a young lady out in California, you know, this typical office worker, 26 years old, and she didn't have any other problems. I mean, she's a healthy 26-year-old girl, and she took this office job, and it's all day long at the computer, and for one reason or another, you always do like this. And she got started having headaches and stuff like that. And she went to a couple doctors and couldn't solve it. Eventually, she had to take off work for 6 months and do traction every day to get it fixed. 26 years old. It can get bad quick. Okay? It's a spiritual problem that can get bad quick if you don't pay attention to it. Your mind gets sucked into something and get locked on it. It's like you got blinders on, you know, the rest of it, you know, the important stuff is in your peripheral vision. And the unimportant is right there. Mm-hmm. When are you going to wait? Or how long are you going to wait to fix it? I had a young man preaching for me, trained him, and he preached for us. He was a good preacher. About 5 years, and then he had some problems and he left the church. But he had this head forward problem, it was really bad. It's like that. I don't know how he got like that. And he started to have circulation problems, you know, because you got, you know, arteries going up between your vertebrae, and you get cut them off like that, you're going to have circulation problems. And he knew he had a problem. And he asked me what to do about it, and I said, you have to retrain your posture. You have to, like, every day, like once an hour, you got to stand there like this until you get tired. The first time you do it, your muscles will be a little scream, and then, you know, it's like you can't do it 30 seconds here. You can't do it 30 seconds. You just have to do it like once an hour. Say, how do you do that? Well, set an alarm on your phone, and every time an alarm goes off, go like that for 30 seconds. But he didn't want to do that. What he wanted to do instead is he wanted me to buy him more of these strap things that you strap on and pull your shoulder back. Okay? So he wanted to fix that, but I don't really know how that works. So he'd be like that, but he just didn't want to do the work, the monotonous thing that would solve his problem. And if you've ever tried some of this posture stuff, you'll be amazed that the muscles that are supposed to work normal and they haven't been, you start to make them work, they will get burning really fast. It's kind of like some of the spiritual habits that we want to train in ourselves, and you start doing this like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is too hard, right? And then you give up. But the head is supposed to be on top, not forward of your shoulders. They're supposed to be aligned, going on like that, right? Your head is supposed to be on top, right? On top of your chest, on top of your torso. It's supposed to be guiding the heart, right? That's the idea. That's the picture. It's supposed to be guiding the heart. If it's off doing its own thing, that's not going to work so good. And that's why I said, if you don't fix your, if you're slumped over, you don't fix your heart first, then you're not going to fix the other stuff. If I stay slumped over and I try to fix my head, move like that, I'd be like that, right? So I got to get up like this first, and I can fix it. So that's why you need to fix the heart first, or you need to bring your chest up first. But that's where the head is supposed to be. It's supposed to be guiding your heart. But what's interesting is these two, they have a back and forth relationship. The guidance kind of like works both ways. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. So the mind tells the heart what to love, and the heart tells the mind what to think about. What you love is what you think about. But your mind can tell your heart what to think about. So your mind can change, or it can train your heart what it should love, right? We don't believe that the heart controls everything and that it's out of control, right? You can take control and love what you intend to love. And that happens in the mind. When are you going to do that? Well, you're probably going to have to do it every day. Right? It's probably going to have to happen every day. Because the attractions to love something else are every day all around you, right? And so, if you have a posture problem, in order to fix it, you're going to have to do something about it every day. I mean, a physical posture problem. We're talking about your head's forward, you got kyphotic posture there. You're going to have to pay attention to it every day, multiple times a day. And if you've noticed it, but you won't do it, then it won't change. It'll be the same. How long do you have to do it for until you fix it? Maybe a long time. I've had a problem with my knee tracking. It's called patellofemoral syndrome. It just means the patella tendon that goes across the top of your knee, it doesn't track in the right place, and then it rubs wrong, gets irritated, inflamed, and so on. So I've had this problem for years. So this time around, I used to be able to just like put a strap on and that would hold it in the right place. But that wasn't the real fix, okay? You can do some little fixes maybe, but you gotta do the real fix. You gotta go to the bottom of the issue, exactly where the problem is. So I went to this chiropractor / physical therapist. And he gave me some exercises that will balance my knee the way stuff pulled on my knee better. And so it'll be balanced and then it'll track straight. And, one of them is, I mean, I do them every day. One of them is this. You go up like this, right? I just went through one. And then one like this, you go like this. So that exercise is this side, the outside, and the back side, okay? So I should do those every day. Like, really, first thing in the morning or as soon as I get up and start walking around. And then ideally, sometime in midday. And then ideally, like, before I go to bed, that'd be good. Because if you get things lined up and you keep them lined up, it's easier for them to stay lined up. Follow what I'm saying? If you get your spiritual posture in the right place earlier on in the day, it will more likely stay that way, and it's less likely to slow back down. And so, you know, I was doing them and things were getting better, but I was still having trouble with it, so I went back to him, and he did some other, like, muscle treatments, and that helped too, and I thought, well, I maybe need some more of those, because it doesn't seem to be going that well. So I went back to him, and he said, no, I already did everything I can for you. And you just have to keep doing that every day, maybe for the rest of your life. Or at least minimum, if you're going to go out and do running or something or whatever, you're going to have to do it. But maybe you just have to do it every day for the rest of your life. And he told me that, he told me about his, he had a knee injury in a surgery repair, and he had to do his rehab, you know, every morning for an hour for like 6 months. I think he's done now, but he said I might have to do it every day, forever. That's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to have it fixed after a year and then I don't have to do it anymore. You just might have to do whatever you need to do to get your spiritual posture lined up and your spiritual framework lined up. You just might have to do it every day. And if you do it as, you say, why don't you do it? I don't like doing it anymore. You know, lay on the floor. Because I have to do like 15 reps each side, and that's like 60 reps, right? It's not what I want to do in the morning, but I haven't been up for it. You say, well, how long does it take you? Well, 5 minutes. So you don't want to do that? No, I don't want to. So the only solution, of course, is to divorce yourself. Right? If you don't do it, then nothing will change. You will stay in the same, you'll have the same problem you did before, and you complain about the problem, but it won't get better. All right, that's the head. Now, on the shoulders? With what? Well, if we're talking about the humped back, I did use the word slump, but we're talking about the shoulder right here. My shoulders are too far forward. Okay? My shoulders are too far forward. Your shoulders should be back like that. Okay. So if you stand and your thumbs are facing each other, the back of your hands are facing forward, then you have a problem with your shoulder posture. Okay? Because they're supposed to be like this. Your thumbs should be forward, the back of your hands should be up that way. Where's that problem? Where's the actual problem? The problem is in your scapula position. Everybody know what the scapula is? For those of you whose high school file as a teacher did not make you memorize all of all the rules, the scapula is the shoulder. You probably are. I should not go too far. I didn't memorize all. What is going on? Okay. Well, to correct it, you can do this. You can do the. I didn't do it. Okay. Or if your arms are like this, you can go like that. It's a little harder. I didn't do it. Or you can do chicken wings or however you want to call it. Okay. So. Go like this, and if you try it, you will feel your shoulder blades come back into the right position because they're too much like this. Okay, so if you go like that, you can feel those muscles pulling it in, and those are muscles in between your shoulder blades and underneath like that, it pulls them in and down a little bit like that. People that have problems in their shoulder, it's usually because of that. Later on in life, if they have problems with the rotator cuff tearing and getting irritated and tearing and stuff. It's because they spend their whole life in a position like that and they're doing stuff in a it's a very inefficient position for your shoulder to work, and it puts a lot more stress on certain of the muscles, especially the rotator cuff, which is right, the muscle that holds the bones up there, the upper arm up there. And you know, it ends up tearing and so on. In China, they have a phrase for it: 50-year shoulders.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, what would cause people's shoulders to end up like this, too far forward like that? In modern life, it's because we rarely have to pull things toward our body, which causes your scapula to come back. We don't have to pull anything. Our work is too easy. We're always hands, arms forward, maybe typing or steering, and so on, like that. So we rarely pull things or lift things up and hold them in this position. Okay, I'm gonna draw it. Okay. Now I'm gonna draw kind of an angle, not a top down view, and not a straight on from the back, more of a kind of like this. Okay. So this is your spine, and let's say this is your shoulder blade. It's like that. Okay? And you got your upper arm bone and your lower arm bone like that. What the scapula does is it provides a stable base so that you can exert force, whether pushing forward or pulling back. For example, if this isn't stable here, you have your chest muscles would be around the front, okay? So My chest muscles come to here and they connect to my upper arm, right? Up here towards the top. So if I'm going to push like this, these muscles are going to contract and I pull all this way. If this is not stable, what's going to happen to the force? It's just going to be all floppy, right? You're not going to be able to generate any force, or hardly any force. So if your scapula is not stable and it doesn't provide the base, you're not going to have any way to produce force at all. And the same thing, if you're going to pull like this, you have these longer muscles pulling down this way, and if they contract, and this moves too, then you're not going to get anything going. Now this movement, your scapula providing a base before you push or pull is supposed to be a unconscious. Okay, Aaron, come on for a second. Stand up there. Just hold your hands tight in your chest. Okay, so like if I was going to pull something, watch up in here. You see what happened to my scapula? It starts to pull back. That's the first thing that happens, okay? I'll slow it down. The first thing that happens is this, okay? That's my scapula moving down and the muscles tightening up and providing a solid base so that the rest of the force can be applied, okay? If I was going to push, I should do the same thing before I push. Or my body would do it. If it was in the habit, it's supposed to be subconscious. But a lot of people, for one reason or another, these muscles become lax and they don't work as good. And when I first started working with Bori on it, I said, okay, just put your arms and I want you to rotate your arms like that. And she couldn't make her scapular retractor muscles move. They were asleep. She couldn't even, she's like, they're not moving. I can't get them to move. Yeah, a lot of people have that trouble. They'll get asleep. You say, well, how does your body work if they're asleep? Well, it just kind of sits there, and because they never have to do anything that requires a lot of force, they can still get along in their lives. Some people have a problem where the muscles are so weak that the scapula, which is a flat bone, will wing out. Off the ribs there, and you can like reach in there. That's how weak it can get. This movement is a movement of preparation, preparing the arm, the body to exert force. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That wouldn't take any spiritual problems. It's the lack of spiritual problems. It's the absence of anything spiritual that will cause you to just give in to sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments righteousness on the doctrine. You're going to have to make some preparation to do that. Just doesn't just all of a sudden happen, right? When was the last time you did something for God and it was just totally unconscious? You just did it because it was natural for you to do. Unless you've been walking with the Lord for a long time and you've developed some habits like that, pretty much you're going to have to prepare. You have to have some preparation in your heart. In your spiritual nature, there's got to be some preparation. And that's what this pictures. If you're going to do anything that has any amount of force, with your arm, it has to have that base. The scapula has to retract before you can do it. If it doesn't retract, there's no problem. If you won't make a preparation to serve the Lord, you might try, but it's going to be weak. And you'll find that when you first start off, even though you're trying, you won't have a whole lot of power there. And that's because the muscles that you need to work to do that aren't exercised. They're just weak. Or maybe they're so bad that they're asleep. And you're like, you're hardly able to get them to wake up the first couple of times you try to do right. Or if it's been so long, you've passed life for a long time. Sometimes we think that we can backslide for a while, and then we just jump right back in, right? Nobody thinks that, right? I never think that either, so I'm the same as you guys. Does it work that way? Well, you never think that's any weird, though. Well, I'll be honest with you, right? If you backslide for a while, and you just want to jump right back in, no, it doesn't work very well. There's a period where you got to get back into the group. It doesn't have to take a long time, but it's not instantaneous. Things fall asleep. Fall asleep. Paul uses that word. That's tired. And among you are sickly, and even some of you sleep. Basically like that. What kind of things does your armor do? I mean, there's a lot of movements we can talk about. But we'll just talk about a couple. Pull. Right? The word pull is not a word. But there's a word like it. Let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Stuff like this. Draw all men. When was the last time you tried to draw someone to Christ? Draw someone toward the Lord. When, you know the story over there in Genesis 24. Okay. Well, let me start from verse 12. So, so he gets there and goes to the well. And what does this young lady do? She draws water for him. And she goes back and she draws water for all the camels. She uses a pitcher and lets the pitcher die. I'm not really sure if she's got, if there's a crank there or what. She's like a pitcher, then I think maybe she's got a rope on it or something, you know, tied around the top. I'm not really sure. But if she has a crank, then it's a little easier. Otherwise, she's doing this, right? Pulling it up. That would have been, for all the camels, I would imagine that would be tiring. You have enough endurance for that work? I'm talking about spiritual work. If you had opportunity to do something more, could you stick with it? Would you keep going until it was finished? Or would you have to give up? Because would you tire? You haven't exercised those muscles for a long time. You get all crampy and then you quit because it's uncomfortable. But she stuck it out. She finished and she got water to all of those camels. I used to have a job. That was my job. I worked for a pipe fitter. I was a pipe nurse helper on a crew working on a paper mill. We were renovating it, and so my job was to pull all the tools up in the racks. And it takes some endurance. How much drawing can you do before you have to give up? Practice it all? Do you get any in, or is it so infrequent that when it happens you have no strength for what whatsoever? You draw water. Something else you might draw. Exodus. Look at verse 9. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. So if your enemy is going to draw his sword against you, well, what are you going to do? Otherwise, we'll destroy you. I guess you better draw yours. You better draw yours. Do you have the strength to use it? If you can get it out, then what? Can you use it? It says his lust shall be satisfied upon him. He's been waiting. He's in earnest. This is what he loves to do. He thirsts to do this. He's going to put some effort. And you can't use some corresponding amount of effort and generate a corresponding amount of defensive power, then you're a victim. Now, we don't have to beat him, right? We don't have to beat him. But you may have to do something like parry, right? So if he's going to swing at you, do you need to be able to get your arm up fast enough and catch it with yours, right? And make a little space between you and him so you can run, right? You're not gonna beat him. But there has to be enough there. There has to be enough strength to be able to, when you take a blow and you want some cushioning that you can handle it and then still get away, right? But if there's no strength there, no preparation there, even if you get your sword out, he's just going to slam right through it, and it's over for you. It takes some strength, and it takes some preparation. You're going to swing that arm, okay? You're going to do that motion. If you're going to use that weapon, that spiritual weapon, then there has to be a base of strength, and it has to be ready to go. And it has to be sometimes, remember I talked about how this is supposed to be a subconscious okay. And sometimes the attacks that we face they come kind of quick, right? You don't get an appointment, you don't get a buzz on your phone or whatever, it's just right there. So you have to be ready to go. And if it's not practiced or you're not ready to do it, then you're going to get eaten up. All right, everyone's been sitting for half hour. Let's all do about 10 minutes. And no sloppy ones either. No chicken push-ups. Do them all the way down, all the way up, all the way down, all the way up. Just like they taught you, all the way down. Up, 4, 5, 6, 7. 9, 10, we can do 10, we can do 20. I don't know which one I can. Can you? Say, you're going on the exercise thing again. No. You don't understand. If you haven't heard that you're supposed to exercise by now, then it won't help if I tell you. I mean, it's all in the brochures at the cardiologist's office and, what you need to do. What I'm saying is if I need to do a pushing movement, can. When I need to do it, whenever I want to do it, I can.
And
because I've been, you know, I've developed strength, so I don't have to warm up to do this. Okay. What is that picture? Turn to Psalm 44. Psalm 44. Well, when I did that in China, everyone was, oh, this guy's really messed it all. I'll get out of breath. Some of you have like 20%. Psalm 44, verse 5. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under the lies of the wicked. Push through our enemies. Sometimes you're going to have to make a firm response, okay? And you won't be able to just run. There are certain things that, I think it makes a whole lot of sense to just flee. The Bible tells us, flee this or flee that. But sometimes, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. There's some things that you can't. 6. Or I should say you shouldn't. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. There's a couple things that you can't back up on. Truth and righteousness. You can't back up on those. You can't flee when those are attacked. You're going to have to push back some. And if there's nothing there, you're not pushing through anything. You're going to get pushed through. You're going to get pushed aside. Whatever, you know, if it's a minister or a pastor, he's going to have to hold the line on some stuff. If you work in the lost world, and you have a lot of lost co-workers, every once in a while, you're just going to have to hold the line. And you might be able to avoid things or and stuff like that, but sometimes you're just not going to be able to avoid something. Or maybe it's with your lost family. You're just going to have to draw the line. And if there's no ability to push when the time comes, well, it won't happen. You won't push through them. They will push through you. They will push you over. They will bully you. Now, these movements of the arm, remember I said the scapula tightens down, okay? But the scapula is mobile, okay? I can have my scapula firm with my arms up like this, or I have my arms up here, I can have my scapula firm there. It's a mobile base. And what it's doing is it's always locking itself against the ribs. The back. What's it lining itself up? What's its strength? We talk about locking itself against the ribs. What's the strength there? Right here. Remember he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. You get your heart right, and no matter what you need to do, you'll be able to lock in. Scapula's really flexible. If you look at the muscles that tighten up the scapula, they're like all through the back and out to the bottom. Okay. Let's do that. Actually, I could go on for another. I got about another. material off this illustration. And why? Because God willing, right? And if you want your spiritual framework to be able to generate some spiritual power, then it has to be lined up the way God intends it. Your heart has to be, it's got to be set on, affections have to be set on things above. The head has to be there to guide the heart and to be, and renew it and guide it. And if you're going to work for God, and you're going to do something, then you have to make some preparation. There has to be the muscles there in order to do it. Otherwise, when the time comes, it's just not going to happen. Okay, I'm going to give you an illustration, and then we'll finish up. Since I didn't have you get up, you can push ups because, you know, everybody all over the floor. We can all do this one, though. Okay? Slump forward. Everybody can do it. Come on. Just give me a slump forward, I guess. Take a deep breath. Left. Okay, now chest up, head back, put your shoulders back a little bit. Now take a breath. You're getting about 2 to 3 times as much air. Can't you feel that? How's it gonna go through your life? See, I just need a little bit of air. Well, if you never do anything challenging, then maybe you never, you don't need to be. You can just go on and you'll be fine. Right? You always take over your list and so on, and have your spouse pour the car for you and so on. So you have to walk your car. But if you think sometimes you need it, you need a little more, then you gotta fix the whole thing. All right, let's stand. All right, 334.